Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 18th of August, 2014, the podcast that draws the line at infinity. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week are Charles Thomas and Jacob Morris. Guys, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
Glad to be back.
Well, let's pile drive the news of the bogus. And first, I think we need to talk about what's going on in Ferguson, which is a suburb of St. Louis. I think you guys might have heard a little something about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. It's a bit crazy out there. In fact, I talked to people on a separate forum who's actually down there. It just says it's crazy right now for the most part.
Yeah.
Cats and dogs living together? Mass hysteria?
Pretty much. But, you know, as a African-American male, I just can't see how this stuff has happened. So, I mean, I just cannot, I don't know what to think of this stuff is.
Well, as a Galo-Germanic American, I agree with you.
But it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah. It started out as one of those cops behaving badly stories that we don't like doing because how many times can you say the same thing over and over again? But it was about a teenager, I think he was 18, named Michael Brown. He had been accosted by the police, and the police are telling a completely different story than the witnesses, but basically it ended up with him running away and them shooting him as he was running. And so I don't know if it was that specifically or if it was just kind of like the last straw, because we've heard so many of these stories, and it just kind of led to people taking to the streets and just protesting and saying enough is enough.
Yeah. I have no problem with the protesting, and I mean, there was a protesting.
I only have a problem when they do things like the looting, and the looting, I mean, I can really, that's going to happen, because you got some people there, and they're going to do crazy things.
Oh, yeah.
It's the ones who were saying that, yes, the looting is good, and we should be looting, and it's like, what? No.
Oh. No.
No. Your quarrel is with the police, not with the local store owners who didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, and it causes a huge effect of people who do loot and what have you. The businesses might not come back there, and the place devolves into more, you know, there's no opportunities other than illegal routes and such.
Well, and it just gives the police even more excuses to doing what they're doing, firing rubber bullets and tear gases and things in there.
Yeah, and not only that, but it also gives credence to give them more authority and more power and all the new toys, and exclude things like, a dash cam, which I don't know why in the world they don't have a dash cam, but yet they can afford to have, you know, these huge tanks, all this other stuff. I'm like, you have all these, you know, these military type of hardware, but yet you can't have a dash cam on a police cruiser.
Yeah, and they need those to control protesters. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many of those protesters are willing chainsaws?
Well, and let's think about this. They were protesting the police, and the police get to control the protesters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all this other stuff that's going on right now, you know, trying to discredit Michael Brown, saying this, that, and the other. It's just it's amazing how people will justify anything because he might be a horrible person or a thug or anything else.
Well, and they had that video that claimed, oh, this is security camera footage of him robbing a store. And then other people came back and said, no, it isn't. And I don't know what's going on with that. But the point is, if he did commit a crime somewhere in the past, that fact was not known to the officers who stopped him.
Exactly.
And so that's no excuse. That's just, you know, poisoning the well.
Exactly. And even to that point, if he did do that, that's not deserved death. Do you really want to have officers, police officers, who, let's be honest, who pull out and shoot people? I mean, not mention all the stuff that's happening now about the chokehold stuff in New York City, the Walmart toy shooting, which I don't know how the heck that happened.
Well, was that the one he had an airsoft gun in the Walmart aisles where they were selling airsoft guns?
Yeah, so, yeah, that's why they need to shoot him, because of that.
Yeah, I'm literally afraid for my life right now.
Well, I mean, if you look at the footage, it looks like some kind of third world despotism where the corrupt police just come in and go after people who don't like what the government's doing. But this isn't the Middle East. It isn't sub-Saharan Africa. It isn't some former Soviet republic. This is here.
And this is what people like you guys, you know, I've been talking about for decades and such. And some people just said, oh, you guys are just Johnny come lately. No, y'all been saying this stuff for years. And now it's here and people are surprised about it.
The liberals are the Johnny come latelys. They're the ones who are saying, oh, you know, we do a cops behaving badly story and say, oh, that's just an isolated incident. And we talk about the militarization of police and, you know, we're this big paranoid conspiracy Alex Jones type people. And well, guess what?
Now here it is.
We warned you, people.
And the two main policy drivers is two wars. Most importantly, the war on terror and the war on drugs. Those are the two main culprits of how this militarization of the police, and basically, heck, even tie this thing up to what's going on at the border, the Mexican border, is mainly the drug cartels, and that's caused by the war on drugs. And God forbid you say anything like, say, let's like decriminalize something, they will go on record and say that you want kids to suit up and drugged up, you want crime cartels and everything else, even though it's already happening now with the laws in place. They look at you and saying, well, you guys are the problem. You should have told us. And then what have we been doing? We've been saying this stuff for years. And yet, again, until it happens to them personally, it doesn't matter to them.
Well, and amazingly, there were at least two members of the press that were arrested. One was Wesley Lowery of the Washington Post, and he wrote about what he had done. And he went into the McDonald's, and the McDonald's there has Wi-Fi and it has an outlet where you can plug in to a laptop. So of course, reporters like going there. And he talks about how the officers come in. Some were dressed, you know, with the riot gear, and they asked for identification and they said they had to leave. And so he pulled out his phone and started recording the video on his phone. This is all on video. And so of course, what do they immediately tell him to do? Stop recording. And he said, no, I have the right to record you. So, but he agreed to leave. So he gathered up his notebook and everything and started to leave. And one officer told him to go one way. He went that way. Another officer told him to go out a different way. And so they gave him conflicting orders. And then they said, okay, let's take him. And they, you know, put his hands behind his back and arrested him and things like that. it was crazy.
First Amendment, never heard of it.
Yeah. And he said in the police van, quote, there was a large man sitting on the floor between the two benches. He began screaming, I can't breathe, call a paramedic. Ryan and I asked the officers if they intended to help the man. They said he was fine. The screaming went on for 10 or 15 minutes. We stood outside the van.
You know, it's going to be more stuff like this. This is just a dress rehearsal, honestly. And I think it's going to get worse. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
So the reporters asked the police why they were being detained. They were told they were trespassing in a McDonald's. Now, McDonald's did not lodge any kind of complaint against them. One of the officers said to him, I hope you're happy with yourself. And I responded, this story is going to get out there. It's going to be on the front page of the Washington Post tomorrow. And he said, yeah, well, you're going to be in my jail cell tonight.
These are the defenders and protect and serve, right? I mean, protect and serve themselves and protect and serve the upper class, you know?
So as far as I can tell, they didn't actually spend the night in the jail. At some point, they were told they were free to go. And he says, quote, we asked to speak to a commanding officer. We asked to see an arrest report. No report, the officer told us, and no, they wouldn't provide any names.
Of course. You know, they don't want to keep that. They got to keep their power base, man. They want you to rule by fear and everything. Because
we don't have to explain ourselves to you. We have guns.
I am the law.
Exactly. And people who are so pro gun control, you know, hey, you know, why are you against gun control? Like, well, this is one of the reasons why. Because it's not the people who do this. It's the police officers. And I hate to say that because there are a lot of people who are good police officers who try to do the right thing, but more often than not, you hear these stories. You just like, you know, why am I should be pro gun control when the people who are the most irresponsible are the people who are wearing a police badge? That is just to me, just doesn't make any sense to me.
History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's LibertyClassroom.com. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, LibertyClassroom.com teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. Okay, so a number of months ago, I think it was late last year sometime, we speculated about the possibility of there being an NSA leaker other than Edward Snowden, because the nature of the leak started being characteristically different, and it also occurred to me that with all those leaks coming out, that would be a perfect time for others in the NSA to start leaking documents while everyone was just assuming they were from Snowden. And in fact, in a recent interview, Snowden said that he'd known a lot of NSA people who were wanting to do this but were just too afraid, so they might be slipping in under his cover.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the feds have come to the same conclusion. Thanks for finally catching up with the rest of us, guys.
Yeah.
According to federal agents, quote, "We first became aware of this possibility after listening to an episode of the Bogosity podcast." Wait, what?
What?
Dang it, I knew we should have kept our mouths shut.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
That would be hilarious.
No, the giveaway here, seriously, the giveaway here is that the documents are now being leaked that originated after Snowden left.
So
there's not much other way that can happen. Snowden was already gone by the time these came out.
Yeah, and when I look at this, there's going to be a lot more of these things coming out, and they're not really protecting us. All they're doing is basically pointing up data, basically not really doing their jobs and such. And I think there's going to be more leaks out there, and it's going to make the NSA and the government and basically embarrass them, which honestly, at this point, I don't mind.
Yeah, and if this keeps going, I think it's probably the beginning of the end, or at least we can hope.
Yeah, but no. People, they will say, we need this, Shane. We need this for protecting freedoms and such, even though it doesn't actually work in protecting us. I mean,
well, they're getting so much data, they can't possibly do anything with it.
Yeah.
You know.
I wonder how the NSA, if they have all this data, couldn't they have done something, say, with this whole Michael Brown thing or any other of these horrible tragedies that happen about OAK police officers so they don't count?
Maybe they have those IRS emails.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just feels like you're not really doing anything positive. It just doesn't make any logical sense to me.
Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide the means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. So, Jacob, you're going to tell us about a mom who called the cops on her own son?
Yes, I am.
What'd he do, pull a gun on her or, you know, threaten to blow up their house or something like that?
Nope. Watching porno on TV.
Watching porn.
On TV.
Seriously, 15-year-old and porn on the television? Does he know he has the internet for that? Seriously, I should arrest you just for doing that.
I'm kind of wondering what he was watching, though, because was it like over the cable or satellite system? And if so, why was she subscribing to those channels in the first place?
Yeah, apparently her 2-year-old daughter was in there as well. Well, I don't know how long, though.
Oh, dear.
But what it said was she immediately turned off the TV and ushered her 2-year-old daughter out of the room. Now, are we really worried about pornography corrupting the mind of a 2-year-old?
They aren't going to even remember. They're going to, like, it's gone the next day. They're still, that's just like, no one remembers things when they're 2 or something like that. It's not going to.
They don't have any concept of what they're looking at.
I honestly look at this, I'm like, really? You're going to waste money and time, or a 15-year-old's you know, son who's probably just curious. He doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, couldn't it just be like, okay, a good teachable moment and say, hey, you know, this is not what it is. The mother talks about, you know, sex with a son and everything, you know, that type of thing, stuff. That could have been easily done. I don't know why she didn't take that chance.
How about just accepting the fact that this is normal?
Yeah, 15 years old. It's, you know, but, yeah. You know, they just can't do. They just like, oh my goodness, it's, oh my gosh, 15 years old, the sex and everything. No, you can't talk about that. Even though, well, we are sexual creatures, they don't want to talk about that, but hey.
Well, you actually gotta love the police in this case because, I mean, they didn't barge in and shoot the family dog or anything like that. They were just kind of looking around, shrugging, going, there was no law broken here.
Yeah, like they can't do anything.
And they didn't put him on a sex offender list either.
Nope.
Because the porn was just...
That's good. Well, I think that's the reason why the mother called the cops, so that they would put him on the sex offender list or something.
That's just what mother would think that that's an appropriate response? I don't get it.
Because he's been acting out.
Yeah, that's going to be a lifelong lesson. That's going to really help.
You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers, and Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.bogosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.bogosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now. This might be the face, well, not the face, of the 21st century fast food worker, a burger-making robot.
This seems to be pretty cool because, quite honestly, it's easy. I don't want to have to deal with anybody else. Just in and out and just leave.
Yeah. Just put your coin in, press a button.
Yeah.
Yeah, the inventors of the device were Momentum Machines, which apparently is a space startup, and co-founder Alexandros Really Long Namikus said, quote, "Our device isn't meant to make employees more efficient. It's meant to completely obliviate them."
Yeah.
Yep. Because robots work for less than minimum wage.
Machines are here, people. And
yeah.
They make life better.
Yeah, they do.
Unless they take over the world.
It says the robot can make a burger in 10 seconds. And this also lets them increase the quality of the burgers because the money they save paying an employee, they can use to buy better ingredients. Or they could just use it to drop the price of the burgers and make it easier for more people to afford them.
Or maybe hire different employees.
Yeah, you know, that actually be a good thing. Or people will find something other things to do. Because honestly, I know people are desperate for a job, but I don't think that burger flipping should be a career. I mean, it's just like these are people who just menial tasks and have people to say, hey, I could do other things.
But I like what this was Jason Dorier writing on Singularity Hub. I mean, he seems to kind of get what's going on. He says, quote, "As technology destroys one kind of job, it creates opportunities for others. We'll need fewer line cooks, they say, but more engineers and technicians. The problem isn't that jobs are lost on net. It's the resulting skills gap." And I don't even think there's a skills gap because, I mean, back when we were all, you know, picking corn on the farms or whatever, there wasn't as much of a skill.
In my case, picking cotton.
Well, hey, my grandparents picked cotton too.
But you know, hey, I mean, eventually people stop. I mean, because technology, I mean,
yeah.
Do you really want people to still be going out there doing everything? I mean, I think someone actually said this on a Learn Liberty video about someone, someone actually flying over China. He sees these people working, like digging ditches and everything else. And, oh, isn't that great? I mean, we decreased the workforce by actually saying we don't need these big machines. We got more people with shovels. And he said this, if you want to hire more people, get rid of shovels and have spoons.
Yeah.
You know, it's just screw efficiency. If you want jobs, then go right ahead.
Have jobs that are actually productive, not the equivalent of digging a ditch and filling it back in again.
Yeah.
And apparently most people understand this. He mentions a Pew survey where 52% of those polled believe that robotics are going to be a net positive for employment, and 48% believe the opposite. So, I mean, it's really close, but there are more people on our side than on the other.
This is progress. It's going to hurt for a while, but I'd rather be on the side that eventually machines are going to make the world better instead of, you know, the Terminator future, which everyone's expecting because, you know, I don't believe that because...
Well, and yeah, and before you can have the fast food robots, you have to have people actually working fast food, making the burgers.
Yeah.
So whatever the new jobs are, whatever they're going to be doing, they're going to need people to work those for a while before they can mechanize. What's getting in the way of that? You know, a machine can't take your job away if it doesn't exist. It's not the machine. It's stuff like minimum wage that's doing it.
Yeah. We could be more efficient, or we just have 1,000 people with spoons digging in the sand for at least for a meager paycheck. I don't think that should be a role of humanity and such. And people say that's kind. No. We these are things we can be more efficient. We can have, you know, other things. You know, I mean, look at what we have right now. I mean, our lives are easier with the machines, computers, and new jobs and new opportunities opened up. I mean, just thanks to the internet alone. I mean, that right there. How many jobs? How many entertainers? How many people? You know, your show, or my show, and all that type of stuff has sprung up. You know, we should be celebrating that instead of just, you know, again, trying to find a spoon in a desert or what have you, and having people who could be the next, like, great entertainer and force them to have a job that is just going to be meaningless and just for the rest of their days, just have them just, you know, they can have something else to do. That's just me.
All right, well, you've used your what have you allotment for today, okay, so. So our glorious Lord and Savior, Barack Hosanna Obama, is the president who got our troops out of Iraq. Well, except for all the troops he left in Iraq.
Yeah, no one wants to talk about that.
And the thing to ignore this week is that apparently there's lots of problems with the government and resistance movements. And so Thursday, President Obama said, quote, I've therefore authorized targeted airstrikes, if necessary, to help forces in Iraq. Today, America is coming to help. Yes, finally, America is coming to help poor Iraq. I mean, if only they'd thought of that a decade ago, all of this could have been avoided.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Again, the song goes on and on. It just keeps going. I don't know what else to say here. And they say, well, we have to stop ISIS. We have to stop all this stuff. It's just another thing. It keeps going and going. They're going to come after and go to the United States to have the ISIS flag fly upon the White House. I'm like, really?
Yeah, that's what the U.S. Ambassador Christopher Hill said, quote, we're dealing with forces there, specifically ISIS, that threaten a larger war in the Middle East. So, you know, it's like this is the next Hitler again, you know, that kind of thing they like to say.
Or the next Al-Qaeda.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I mean, they beat the Syria war drums. That didn't take. They beat the Iran war drums. That didn't take. So I guess it's time to go back to the well.
Yeah, just keep going and going. Can someone please tell me? I beg someone who's... I want them to please comment and tell me that this is a good idea. Please. Because all we've done in Iraq... as we have gone in regime change and we're basically disabled, basically destroyed the country. All we have left is now people getting killed by car bombs, you know, usually getting killed by car bombs. And now ISIS is here and you want more intervention. At this point, you know what? We're done. There you go. Right? You could deal with your own problems because, you know, Shane, they're right behind you. They're right in those little bushes, the Russian, Muslim, black, evil people with guns and nuclear weapons are right in that bush behind you, and then you need the Patriot Act to save America, man. We need to save America, as they keep saying.
Yeah, we have to protect our freedoms to, what freedoms do we have again?
Yeah, we have to take away our freedom to prevent the terrorists from taking away our freedom.
You know, if we don't do that, the terrorists win.
Yeah. Well, I like what this Wall Street Journal article has to say, this one line here. It says, White House officials initially pointed to the intervention in Libya as a model for the kinds of coalitions that could sustain a military intervention. A recent surge in violence there has quieted that view. Yeah, they stop pointing to Libya and say, yeah, we want it like that, because they don't.
Of course. Maybe after all their failures, eventually they'll wake up. I mean, hopefully, right? I mean, they can't continue to fail, right? They only could dig so far in. I mean, they already hit China. I mean, they can't go any lower, right, Shane? They can't go any lower.
You can always start digging in asteroids.
Yeah.
Well, Libertarianist on the forum sent us the following rant regarding this story.
Obama has recently authorized airstrikes in Iraq. Surprise, surprise. Are you happy, liberals? Wasn't this one of the main reasons you voted for Obama in the first place? You thought he would end the war in Iraq. Well, here we are, 6 years later, telling the same old story. And who is to blame? Well, of course, we can rightly blame Obama, but also every single person who voted to put him in power. And I don't want to hear the excuse that McCain or Romney would have been worse. Perhaps, but they weren't the only alternatives. And a vote for the lesser of two evils is still a vote for evil. There's blood on your ballot, and the only way to wash it off is to vote for a third-party candidate. Specifically, one who takes a principled stance against war and foreign occupation.
Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy. I've been very satisfied with GoDaddy's services and their wonderful 24/7 customer support for over 10 years now. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or other service and get 35% off with the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet hosting. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. Well, guys, we knew this was coming somewhere and sometime soon. Tempe, Arizona has banned e-cigs in bars, restaurants, and public places.
Oh, wow. I'm not surprised. We have to because it hurts people, right?
Except, there's no secondhand anything.
Yeah.
But the city council voted 5-1 to ban e-cigarettes.
Because, you know, if they don't ban e-cigarettes, the terrorists win.
But it looks like smoking.
It's amazing.
It looks like smoking, so it must be bad.
It's icky.
See, this is something else we warned you about. I'm sorry, but it is. We told you a long time ago, it wasn't about the secondhand smoke. It wasn't about the harmful effects. It was about, and they were like, no, it's only because the secondhand smoke is really, 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 really bad for you. Well, guess what? Another excuse down the drain.
They're prepping up for when marijuana becomes legal. They're going to do this because they're going to be doing this because it's for the public good, even though it's not really for the public good. It's amazing. So one alternative to actually smoking cigars and cigarettes and such. And now people are like saying you can't do it in public places, even though it's not harmful to anyone. It's, people, you know, nosy, they are always nosy, these little nanny state people who just can't stand fun. They hate people who do anything new or cool or fun. They just want them to be boring and bland as they are. And that's the only way they'll be happy.
Like the mother who called her cops on the sun.
Yeah.
I think it might have been Ambrose Bierce who said that Puritanism was the fear that someone somewhere might be having a good time.
And by the way, they said the city council did explain it will reconsider the ban if there's new research on e-cigarettes.
What new research do they need? They're safe.
Yeah.
The research has been done.
No. No, it's not that research enough. Maybe because the people who do e-cigarettes haven't paid them enough. I mean, get them good campaign contributions.
Yeah.
And, you know.
I'll get my couch money then.
I got $5 and some land.
I got a Bitcoin.
Well, once again, Libertarianist on the forum sends us his take on the matter, along with what sounds like a Monty Python Pepper Pot lady.
Lawmakers in Tempe, Arizona, have recently banned the use of e-cigarettes in what they refer to as enclosed public places, Of course, by public places, they mean bars and restaurants that are open to the public. In other words, private places. AZCentral.com ran an opinion piece presenting a brief debate between writers Linda Valdez and Joanna Allhands of the Arizona Republic. The following is an excerpt from Valdez's defense of the new Arizona policy, read in the most condescending tone I can muster.
As the person who might be sitting at the next table, I have nothing but appreciation for the city of Tempe's move to ban e-cigarettes in restaurants, bars, etc. I remember when smoke and smokers dominated every public place. It wasn't just unhealthy. It was a smelly invasion of my personal space.
I am saddened by the fact that Linda Valdez and the 5 city council members who approve the ban need to be reminded that the waste of space they occupy does not actually belong to them when inside another person's restaurant. When you eat or drink at a restaurant or bar, it is because the owner allowed you to borrow that space. If you don't like the environment that he or she has provided, you are quite welcome to patronize a different establishment. What you are not welcome to do is use the threat of violence to force the owner or his customers to behave the way you'd like. Of course, this argument is totally applicable to the pre-existing smoking ban already in effect in Tempe. The fact that this new law prohibits not just regular smoking, but e-cigarettes, speaks volume to the ignorance of its supporters. There is little, if any, scientific evidence that even first-hand e-cigarette vapor is harmful, let alone second-hand vapor. And the supporters of this law know this, but simply do not care. Linda Valdez's true attitude toward e-cigs were made clear in her final statement in the debate when she said,
"E-cigarettes are a transparent attempt to sanitize that habit and keep selling the addiction."
What possible reason could Valdez have for condemning tobacco companies for making their products safer? The advent of e-cigarettes will save millions of lives. It is as though Valdez and the Tempe, Arizona City Council has an issue not with the health effects of tobacco, but with tobacco itself, absent any deeper reasoning. They seem to be more concerned with preventing people from using tobacco than preventing people from dying from tobacco. And for this reason, I must say that Linda Valdez and the Tempe, Arizona City Council are complete imbeciles.
Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers, backup sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.pagosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.pagosity.tv and get LastPass now. And now it's time to engorge the gray matter of this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week, it goes to U.S. Civil Rights Commissioner Michael Yockey. All right, so there's all these complaints in state universities about the free speech of students being shut down when it goes against the political agenda of the professors and the administration. And lots of people have spoken out against that and in favor of college students having free speech, as they absolutely do. But guess what? Yockey thinks that this censorship is warranted because the brains of college kids aren't developed enough for free speech.
Wow. And as a college student myself, I think that Michael Yockey is a complete idiot.
Yeah, but you don't get to say that because... See, if you said he was a great guy, that would be allowed. But since you say he's an idiot, you don't get to say that because you don't have free speech.
Yeah, of course. It's again, They can't take anything else that will challenge their worldview.
Because it's not developed.
Yeah. I mean, what does that even mean?
I don't... Well, he made these remarks in a briefing of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, and it was about sexual harassment law in education, and what he said was, quote, "Certain factors in how the juvenile or adolescent or young adult brain processes information is vastly different from the way that we adults do."
Vastly.
Yeah. So when we sit back and talk about what is right or wrong in terms of First Amendment jurisprudence from a reasonable person's standpoint, we are really not looking into the same referential viewpoint of these people of an adolescent or young adult, including those in universities.
Wow.
Okay, college students are not orcs, okay?
And besides, 18 is the legal adult age, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, they take the full
responsibility. Well, unless you want to drink, then it's 21.
Yeah, of course. But they take the full responsibilities of an adult. I mean, they can go, you know, go out to war, but
yeah,
for whatever reason.
Yeah, old enough to take a bullet, but not old enough to take a shot.
Yeah. What's the point? If they can't do this in college, where are they going to do it? Isn't it best to actually talk about it in a college thing, have their stuff challenged, and then when they get to the adult world, they'd be better prepared?
But that would require teaching people.
Yeah. Well, one of the groups that's acting against campus censorship is FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education.
Nice name.
Oh, yeah. I love it. And they've argued that college students can vote and even be sent off to fight in wars, so we must grant them full political rights, and that prominently includes their First Amendment rights.
Yeah, that's a logical point. If you're going to say that, then 18-year-olds cannot be voting.
Well, you can't, because the Constitution says if you're 18, they can't take away your right to vote on account of age.
Well, give it time, Shane. They would. They will find a way. And I love, he's like supposedly says he's considered himself a First Amendment absolutist for most of his life.
Yeah. Yeah.
First Amendment absolutist.
Yeah, well, yeah, but not for everyone.
Yeah, only for himself.
I'm pro-choice on the things that I agree with. When it's things I don't agree with.
You're a bigoted misogynist.
Bigoted misogynist, person who has no, you know.
Cis-privileged.
With an undeveloped brain.
Check your privilege, Shane.
Yeah.
Oh.
See, we got a black guy on tonight. You don't get to say that to us.
Oh, I don't care.
There's no white privilege here.
No.
But still male and still cis.
Yes. I'll guarantee you. Just leave this thing on Tumblr.
Yeah, apparently privilege means we're not allowed to do a whole bunch of things. What kind of privilege is that? Can I have a little less privilege, please?
Oh, well, Shane, then you're in the perfect country for it. We basically have no privilege now.
Yeah. So all of that makes Michael Yockey this week's biggest Bogani member. And now it's time to take the hall pass away from this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire.
And this week it goes to Michael Mulgrew, president of New York's United Federation of Teachers, you know, the teachers union, for comments he said about people who criticize his beloved Common Core Standards Initiative, which has drawn criticism from conservatives, liberals, and libertarians alike, including a lot of teachers.
Well, maybe his criticism is rational and it's somewhat profound. So what is it, Shane? What was his rebuttal to all the criticisms?
Well, let's listen to what he says for yourself.
And I have heard the stories about how Eli Broad, Bill Gates, Joel Klein, and a flying saucer full of Martians designed these things to brainwash us all.
Yeah, great. Straw man and ridicule. Wonderful way to make your point there.
That's awesome, because God forbid you can't really come up with real actual points. Like, they turned out arguments in such a read from online trolls to say, that's the perfect way for argumenting.
There has never been a set of standards designed that took into account the diversity of all of the students that we teach. That is up to us to fix that.
You know, I think he missed his calling. He'd be pretty good as a pro wrestler.
No, he has the whole thing good, but... As a pro wrestling fan myself, he'll be pushed to the moon, but in the end, he'll be forgotten about in 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't stand out there at all.
Yeah.
The thing is, he talks about diversity, But what he's really wanting to do is put all of the kids of all the states into a meat grinder. I mean, the issues around teaching children in an incredibly diverse state such as Texas are completely different from those in a more homogenous state like Wisconsin. Diversity means they require different approaches, not one way enforced on all.
One way to rule them.
If they really want to have a diverse way, have a real diverse way, like teaching kids. Some people have like the way of computers. Some like to have, you know, teach that instead of just have this same old bland mindset that has basically made our, you know, our computer.
So basically privatize schools.
Yes, privatize the school.
Well, but you don't even need to do that. I mean, it's not even like federal standards are the only way to do this. And we talked a while back about the next generation science standards. Instead of these standards being forced from the top down, this is a cooperative effort between states and private schools to produce not a curriculum, but a framework they can use to develop their own science curriculum that helps make sure the necessary science subjects are covered and that they get the science right. But that's not anything that gives teachers' unions any power, so I guess it's not worth considering.
Yeah, because who cares about the kids, right?
It's like, I've got mine, bleep you.
The standards are ours. Tests are ours. We are fighting now because they took tests away from them to bring them back to us. You don't back down from a fight. They took our standards away from us. We're going to take them back from them because that is our tool. We are the teachers. They are not the teachers.
I think this is technically known as the Daffy Duck defense. It's mine! Mine!
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Mature. Really mature. Why are we still following these people who are supposedly smart and supposedly well-educated and need a debate, and they respond like the criticisms like a petulant child or basically the average YouTube commenter?
Yeah.
And yet they still call us selfish.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we're the selfish ones here.
If someone takes something from me, I'm going to grab it right back out of their cold, twisted, sick hand and say it is mine.
I don't know what's scarier, his screed or everyone cheering it.
I think just everyone cheering is the one that frightens me.
Yeah, he's not the odd man out here.
Yeah, if he was just a one single fool, I wouldn't mind. But yet the people who will cheer and say, yes, yes, he was completely correct. You know, this stuff right here is just a reason why our schools are generally, what, the worst in a developed world or what have you. That's what I love about the teacher union. You can fail completely, and you'll still say, well, because we need more money, and they'll give you more money.
You can sexually abuse children and not get fired.
Just, I still can't believe that story. It's had to sit in a room for 12 years. Because the principal was terrified to fire him. I'm like, fire him! And if the teacher raised a stink, say, yeah, this person sexually assaulted one of my students. Go ahead, defend him. I would have said, screw that. Yeah, go ahead, defend him. Yeah, see who wins the public opinion.
And just to let everyone know, those cold, sick, twisted people he was talking about are the parents of the children he teaches.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder why I'm leaning. If I ever have kids, I'm just going to homeschool them.
Yeah. Especially if you're in a union state, yeah.
If you take someone, like, if you acted like this angle, you're going to take some of my kids away, well, you know, we can have some words, buddy.
Now, are you ready to hear him bring the crazy home?
All right, let's hear it. Wow.
Wow. Just wow.
Yeah. Punch, because that's the way you do it. We're going to use violence and force to force your kids to listen to us and our brand of thinking. Yeah.
Me no need logic. Me use fist.
I think he's the one who needs to be away from the children.
Yes. He needs to be far, far away. But yet no one wants to say anything bad about teachers here because they're like, oh, you hate education.
Or you hate unions.
But look, they're cheering about this. You know, they cut back to the lady in charge. She's got this big smile on her face the whole time. These are the people who are teaching your kids.
Yeah.
Like when you get a Nazi film.
Yeah.
You know when the people are cheering?
Yeah, it's just amazing.
Eerie.
How long are we? We're 25th in math. We're probably even lower in spelling and everything else. Are you going to still give these people, these teachers, you in carte blanche? It just doesn't make any sense to me. We just say, well, you know, there's no one actually standing up and saying, no, you are not supposed to act like this. You do not act like this. And just say, you will not have my kids. You're not going to take my kids. I'll take them somewhere else and actually, you know, I just don't get it.
Yeah, this is just the true colors of statists coming out. It's a violent monopoly full of thugs who want to use force to get their way. The only real difference with Mulgrew is he's honest about it.
Yeah. I mean, we are 25th in math, 17th in science, 14th in reading. Yeah, USA's number one, Shane. Number one! Number one.
And nowhere in this rant was a response to any of the problems and criticisms with Common Core. It's nothing but an emotional appeal, and the assertion that any attempt to point out problems with Common Core is an attack on the teachers.
Even if you're a teacher yourself.
Yeah, because a lot of teachers are against Common Core, like I said.
It's the square peg in the round hole. It'll fit eventually. It has to fit eventually.
You'll take it and you'll like it.
So by showing his true colors as a violent thug, Michael Mulgrew goes to the top of the pack as this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this Come and See the Violence Inherent in the System edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at bogosity.tv where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, then do like Libertarianist and send your question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Charles Thomas and Jacob Morris for joining me.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Until next time, here's a quote from Bertrand Russell. Men are born ignorant, not stupid. They are made stupid by education. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution on Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 imported license.
Bogosity.
Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.
The world is destroying itself, and you know, teachers are basically telling people to punch them in the face. You know, I think this whole statism thing is not working out as people might think it is.
Yeah.
Just throw more money at it.
Yeah.
Well, you see, what we need are police to keep the peace and teachers to educate the Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. Just kept putting on more leeches. It'll eventually fix itself.